to the homeless.
Snow really does complicate things. It's not so much the cold right now. I think it's in the mid-30s. But we're just, you know, a lot of times our cities and public works department, they're just not equipped to deal with a whole lot of snow.
Forecast to say the Washington, D.C. region could get nearly a foot of snow. Dutch officials say 12 Somalis have been detained in the port city of Rotterdam on suspicion of terrorist-related activities. Terrorism expert Sajan Gohel says it's another example of terrorism on a smaller scale than Al-Qaeda, but with groups that are just as dedicated.
Up till now, the authorities have been able to disrupt them. Some have also failed from lack of technical skill, but that technical deficiency will be overcome, and we are looking at new emerging actors entering the arena.
No word on the alleged targets in this case. Tensions between the Catholic Church and the Chinese government were in the forefront as thousands came to hear Pope Benedict deliver his Christmas message. The Pope's calling on Chinese Catholics to stay loyal to the Church, even as they risk persecution over their religious beliefs. CBS News correspondent Joel Brown says President Obama is getting a little R&R right now, but it's not likely to last.
5,000 miles from the White House, the president's enjoying a quiet Hawaiian holiday and hoping for more of the cooperative spirit back home that led to a string of legislative wins in the lame duck Congress. But compromise may prove harder to come by in the new year. The national debt, fast approaching $14 trillion, will force what's sure to be a partisan fight over budget cuts and spending priorities. For President Obama, the only choice is to find common ground between his weakened Democratic allies and newly empowered Republicans.
Gaza's militant leaders are warning Israel they'll escalate hostilities if tensions along the border don't subside. Violence has flared over the last week, with militants firing 30 rockets into southern Israel and the Israeli military retaliating with several airstrikes. Hamas says Israel is playing with fire. West African leaders say they'll use what they call legitimate force to remove Laurent Gbagbo from power in Ivory Coast if he doesn't agree to step down peacefully. The call from the regional bloc comes amid fears of new violence in the West African nation that suffered a 2002-2003 civil war.
Merry Christmas!
There are many ways that you can be a soldier's angel. You can adopt a soldier, sending letters and care packages to the deployed. You can give to Project Valor IT, buying voice-controlled laptops and systems for the wounded. You can sew or crochet for Operation Top Knot, making items for infants and expectant mothers and military families. There are many ways to be a soldier's angel. Find your way at soldiersangels.org. Do you have a little angel in you?
Remote starter installs are a specialty at Sunroof Sound and Security of Leominster. From window tinting to iPods, we've enhanced vehicles for over 18 years. Give the gift of a warm, toasty car this winter with a new remote starter from Sunroof Sound and Security at 623 North Main Street Rear in Leominster. 978-534-9911. 978-534-9911.
Aaron Pallet has provided dependable service for 43 years to businesses large and small. For pallets recycled, rebuilt, remanufactured, or new, 800-248-7543 is the number to call. Your business is our business at Aaron Pallet, 88 Benson Street, Fitchburg, 800-248-7543, on the web at aaronpallet.com.
Hi, this is Barbara Espinosa, inviting you to join me on Hair on Fire by Barbara, Mondays at 8 p.m. on KFNX 1100 News Talk Radio, and on American Freedom by Barbara. Please join me for Hair on Fire. You'll be glad you did.
The Middlesex News calls Linguini's Pizza, quote, among the best I've ever had. And Santa said, after eating at Linguini's, I've taken Butch Rappucci off my naughty list. Add your review to theirs at Linguini's Italian Eatery, 350 Boston Post Road West, Marlboro, open 7 days. 40 years ago, when abortion was uncommon, 1% of all births were to unwed mothers. Millions of taxpayer dollars in abortions later, 40% of all births are to unwed mothers. Well done, Planned Parenthood. Choose life. Paid for by Fitchburg and Leominster MCFL. And Merry Christmas to all of our listeners of The Tech Guy on the Radio. We are here with our special Christmas show. None of this canned stuff over here. We are recorded today, so you cannot call in, but feel free to email your comments to thetechguyontheradio@gmail.com. We have a wonderful Christmas show today with three guests in the studio. We have my friend, Jim Marley, who has his bachelor's from BC and has his master's from the Theological
the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas in Rome. He is a scholar of theology. Jim, pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you, Peter. Happy to be here.
And we have two very well-known Catholic bloggers. We have the Kurt Jester coming to us from Florida. Jeff, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here from nice and cold Florida.
So Florida, we're kind of cool here in New England. Florida's cooler than it has been, but in a place that's even cooler, we have Damien Thompson from the London Telegraph and the blog Holy Smoke. Damien, a great pleasure to have you on the air with us.
It's great fun to be here.
Well, today we're talking a little bit about Christ in Christmas and the way the media deals with the church. And the Christmas wars apparently haven't ended, and I have to thank the mainstream media that they are, when it comes to these subjects, they are a gift that keeps giving. As I said, this is a tape show. Nina Totenberg this week, to give an example of how the wars and Christmas are still going on, when commenting on the recent omnibus bill, and I'm going to quote her here. She's talking about something she was at, and she's over there. I was at, forgive the expression, a Christmas party. And I know for NPR, that's practically profanity. But the idea that Nina Totenberg felt the need to apologize for saying Christmas party is an amazing thing, almost as amazing as another case out of, I believe it was Oklahoma, you had the banking system, you actually had a bank warned that it should not have its crosses out and so forth, and it's one of these stories you look at and your jaw just drops. And until the publicity came out concerning it, or maybe they thought they were going to get away with it, maybe they thought people wouldn't notice, but we still see the war on Christmas being fought as if Christmas is a dirty word. Gentlemen, thoughts on that?
It has been interesting, following the Christmas wars over the years. They kind of first started with, it's been going on for quite a while, but when big businesses during the Christmas season started saying, get your holiday gifts, and, have our happy holidays, and the C word had been banned, from the airwaves and from the advertisements and everything else, people started kind of reacting to that. And over the years, the businesses have kind of learned that, hey, it's hurting their bottom line. Unfortunately, the typical, usual suspects in the media and everything else, well, they never cared about a bottom line in the first place other than to get out their message. And so the Christmas wars are hot and heavy, within the media and, of course, within local government and public schools and, all the other pieces of government that's in full force there.
Okay, Damien, do you see much of that in England?
We do, but we have a slightly different version of it. Christmas wars, I'm glad to say, are not such a big thing in England. On the whole, you can't escape the word. And I don't think people are wary of wishing each other a Merry Christmas. And the term Happy Holidays has an American feel to it, and it's always struck me as one of the unfortunate things about American public life that you do over in the States tend to avoid the word Christmas often. We have had one or two local authorities trying to wish people a happy winterval was one version of it, but it tends to be laughed out of court even by the mainstream media. I think the difference may be, and I wonder if I can say this without getting into trouble, because no offense is intended, but in America you have a much larger Jewish community which may feel, understandably from their point of view, ambivalent about Christmas and celebrating Christmas, since that's very explicitly not their faith. Jewish community is much, much, much smaller in this country, and on the whole, where we, where local authorities steer away from Christmas, it's an attempt not to offend Muslims, for whom it's not such a problem anyway, because the birth of Jesus is a significant event for them.
Well, you wouldn't know that from something that happened in Ann Arbor. They actually banned Santa Claus from a group at a place called St. Peter's, believe it or not, because they were afraid, because there were so many Somali Muslims there, and they were afraid it would cause offense. And the irony is that the woman who made this decision is named Chris Marbin. And James, I mean, Chris sounds a lot like Christ, and the place is St. Peter's. Is it as odd to you as it was to me?
Well, I think I felt the same as you, Peter. Her name is probably Christine, and that would be derived from the word Christina, which means Christian.
So I guess we'll have to rename her. I would suggest Dahimi, D-H-I-M-M-I, because of the just ridiculous attempt to back off. Although we have seen some changes a little bit. In my area, I live in a city called Fitchburg. The local supermarket is called the Demola's and Market Basket. Well, actually, Market Basket. It used to be Demola's. And I noticed that their signs have a big Merry Christmas. They do have Happy Holidays and Season's Greetings, but they have a big Christmas tree with a Merry Christmas on it, and they weren't shy about it. And I believe, James, you were pleased to see that yourself.
Yes. Yes, I thought it was a real step forward to see that. A step backward in time, but forward in the culture wars.
Now, when I look at the culture wars, it's almost as if it comes from specifically the Manhattan way of thinking, so to speak. You see people who look at everything through that little prism of the mainstream media around here, and it's very, very odd. In fact, even the Happy Holidays, people forget that there was a movie called Holiday Inn that Bing Crosby was in with that song Happy Holidays was from, but it was about all the different holidays. And people often forget that, in fact, I want to mention this to you, Jeff, that Christmas is actually a national holiday in the United States named Christmas. So it's strange to me that you have groups like the ACLU fighting against it. In fact, they sent out a letter in Tennessee telling school districts that they are not to say Merry Christmas, trying to pretty much intimidate them into Happy Holidays. It was an amazing thing to read.
The whole thing is, is rather strange with, a large, percentage of the population of the United States, at least, saying that they're Christians, no matter how much they practice their faith or such. But you have this, gigantic group of people, and then you have a smaller group of other religions. And, for the most part, the people that were complaining weren't the people from the other religions. The Muslims, for the most part, here in the United States, were not complaining about Christmas celebrations or the word. They weren't offended to see all this. The Jewish people in our country, longstandingly, that there has not really been any kind of a major problem in stores and such like that you have Jewish people complaining about it. And in fact, Hanukkah, which is hardly celebrated anywhere else in the world, has kind of been elevated here to kind of give the Jewish people kind of an equal, place in the holiday in such a way. Of course, the United States is so egalitarian that, we even had a socialist torturer, create Kwanzaa for people here. But, we seem to want to include everybody, but, we seem to forget that, this kind of silly idea of multiculturalism where what you actually do is you raise one group over other group and fight them out, and then all of a sudden everybody else's so-called holidays are up on top, and then all of a sudden Christians, well, we're on the back burner, and you just don't mention what you're celebrating there.
Well, I like the elevation of Hanukkah because it's from the Book of Maccabees, and we Catholics keep the Book of Maccabees as opposed to some of the other denominations. But before I jump to you, Damien, I do want to – I mentioned the ACLU letter, but I didn't mention the article. You can find it on my blog under the post, and the ACLU's War on Christmas continues. And here's the quote, "Superintendents across the state were reminded by the ACLU this week that holiday celebrations focusing primarily on one religious holiday amount to an unconstitutional endorsement of religion. The ACLU letter addressed to 137 public school leaders across the state stated that it was responding to a number of complaints from families about school party activities during the Christmas season. And they cited several Supreme Court decisions about the matter. But then again, if I'm not mistaken, Damien, lawyers always cite court decisions, but that doesn't mean that their appeals are serious or relevant.
That's right. I mean, thank God, as far as I know, we don't have an equivalent of the ACLU here in Britain. I was very struck by what you say about the the media elites and the Manhattan way of looking at the world. I spent the midterms in Manhattan, and although it's none of my business, I'm glad to say that there were fewer Democrats in the Congress when I flew out than when I flew in, but I was very, very struck by how different the Manhattan view of the world is from that of ordinary America. And I guess in Manhattan, people would be much more nervous about celebrating Christmas or offending people's sensibilities than they would be in the Midwest of America or in most of the 50 states. Certainly, I hope that's the case, because I do think the Americans have a great way of celebrating Christmas, and so much of our culture, popular, secular culture of Christmas, does actually come from American traditions, whether it be the red Santa Claus, supposedly invented by Coca-Cola, or, you know, so much of the atmosphere comes from Hollywood, and it's nice, and it's uplifting, and it's distinctively American.
Now, Jim, you spent a large amount of time in Rome. I presume that Rome, to your memory, was not hit by this kind of avoidance of Christmas.
That is correct. I observed for the first time Roman Christmas in 1983, and I was struck by the fact that there was significantly much less commercialism. And even when I most recently left Rome, which was 4.5 years ago, during that last Christmas of 2005, it was getting more Americanized. It was getting to be a situation where there was more commercialism, but just nothing even remotely approaching what we have here. And as to the way you greet people, it's uniformly the equivalent in Italian of Merry Christmas. Buon Natale, literally good Christmas.
Well, as a person whose grandparents came from Sicily, that's a greeting that we've heard a lot. Now, I think a lot of this stems from a fear of the church. And when we get back, when we start our next segment, I'm going to want to focus with you, Damien, on the ordinate, because you, one of the things is to try and tear away not only Christianity, but specifically the Catholic Church. And we're a group of Catholics here talking on the show today. And it's as if it's an almost a mission to tear the church away from what it actually is when there's an awful lot going on. And when we do get back from our break, I'd like to talk a little bit about the ordinate, the Anglican ordinate, with which I'm familiar with, James is a little familiar with, the Kurt Jester is familiar with, and Damien is very familiar with, but a lot of you may not be familiar with it. When we have Bonnie Irbre trying to say that the Catholic Church is a dying institution, the facts seem to say something else. But we're going to be taking a break now, and we will be back in a few minutes with James Marley, the Kurt Jester, and Damien Thompson of Holy Smoke. We will be right back.
Merry Christmas!
Mike's Pizza & More, 153 Lunenburg Street, has served Fitchburg for over 40 years, delivering the freshest pizza, calzones, grinders, and platters from our kitchen to your table. Eat in or take out. When you're hungry, Mike's ready. Call Mike's Pizza & More, 978-353-0008. That's 978-353-0008. At JS Protective Services, Inc., www.jsps.us, your security is our business. JS Protective is a family-owned business that will provide you with professionally trained and certified guards for all your security needs. Uniformed or plain clothes, armed or unarmed, one guard or 50. JS Protective Services, 978-537-6700, makes the security of your business their business. And if you have an emergency, we can provide same-day services for any contingency. Your business is your living. Keep it safe and secure with JS Protective Services, Inc., 435 Lancaster Street, Leominster, and on the web at www.jsps.us.
Remote Starter installs are a specialty at Sunroof Sound and Security of Leominster. From window tinting to iPods, we've enhanced vehicles for over 18 years. Give the gift of a warm, toasty car this winter with a new remote starter from Sunroof Sound and Security at 623 North Main Street Rear in Leominster. 978-534-9911. 978-534-9911.
It's Magic and More at Land Games, 444 Central Street, Leominster. Singles, boxes, weekly tourneys, supplies. If it's magic, Land's got you covered. Is Warhammer 40,000 your game? Land has all you need for the battle of a lifetime. Got a D&D game, a tabletop league, or any game? Post it at Land. And special orders? No problem. Any system from Munchkin to Talisman is just a call away. You've got game at Land Games, 444 Central Street, Route 12, Leominster. 978-466-9851. On the web at landgamestore.com.
Jane, you look sharp.
Of course. I just came from Sharp Design Salon in Fitchburg.
Sharp Designs? I love that place. Bernadette, Jackie, and Val make my hair look awesome.
And it's not just hair. Makeup, facials, they do it all.
I know. When Monica makes me up, I'm ready for the holidays.
I love the Saturday hours. They're open till 5 p.m. Most salons close at 12.
And with evening hours on Friday, Sharp Designs is there when you need them.
If you want a sharp look, you want Sharp Designs in Fitchburg. 978-343-3324.
That's 978-343-3324.
We are Brick and Mortar at Goldrick & Son Masonry, 155 Lunenburg Street in Fitchburg. For 30 years, we've done it all, from stone walkways to patios and more. No job is too big or too small. Commercial or residential, your stonework will be done by fully licensed and insured professionals. We offer senior citizen discounts, and all work is guaranteed. We aren't satisfied until you are. Call 978-597-2622 for a free estimate. That's Goldrick & Son Masonry, 978-597-2622. We are Brick and Mortar.
Get your family away from the set and onto the alleys at Putnam Street Lanes, Fitchburg. For 120 years, from college students to retirees, Putnam Street Lanes has kept people on a roll. Seniors, men's, women, or mixed, Putnam's has a candlepin league for you 7 days a week. And our youth leagues aged 5 to 18 and free lessons for children are the fun way to get your kids moving again. You can't get more New England than candlepin bowling, and there's no bowling like Putnam Street Lanes, 14 Putnam Street, Fitchburg, 978-343-9664. On the web at Putnam Street Lanes.com. When it comes to floors, you're covered with Littles Floor Covering, 359 Summer Street, Fitchburg. For 20 years, Littles has sold and installed the best selection of carpets and floors for your home or business. Keep yourself covered with Littles Floor Covering, 978-345-5425. On the web at littlesfloorcovering.com.
Merry Christmas!
And we are back on the Tech Guy on the Radio. And when we had our break, we were about to go to Damien about the Ordinariate, which I pronounced terribly wrong, which is very, very much me. Now, Damien, can you tell us about the Ordinariate and what it is and what people may not know about it? In fact, I'm sure a lot of our listeners don't know about it at all.
Ordinariate's a radical proposal. It originated with conservative Anglo-Catholics, who already celebrate a Catholic liturgy, who, distressed by the ordination of women bishops and women priests and by gay blessings and all sorts of developments in Anglicanism, probably approached Cardinal Ratzinger first, when he was, you know, before he became the Pope, approached Rome and said, "We would like become Catholics as a group. We would like to keep some of our traditions, but we would like to be fully part of the Catholic Church, but we would like to worship together in our own parish." There's some similar arrangement in America, but this is on a much wider scale and to be international, but especially focused on England and the Church of England.
Now,
Rome said yes.
We've heard an awful lot about how there have been schisms within the church. And by the way, this is WCRN, 50,000 watts of true talk out there on Christmas Day. Merry Christmas to all. We have heard about the schisms within the Anglican church, from especially the African churches and some of the American churches. And is this the Vatican and the Pope specifically seeing this schism and saying, hey, we are still what we have always been?
Well, as I say, it started with Anglicans approaching the Pope and saying, we wish to become Catholics. So this is the Pope's response to these requests. But yes, as you say, absolutely, the continuity of Catholic teaching on these major issues that are dividing the Anglican Communion has not changed. And actually, the Catholic Church is much less divided on, say, women priests than it was 20 years ago. Now the message has come home really firmly from Rome that debate is closed. If you want to have it, you can't have it as an official Catholic spokesman. And frankly, it's the notion of Catholic women priests is a fantasy. It belongs in an alternative universe. So that feeling of validity, of unchanging truthfulness of the Catholic witness, and also a wish to be part of the apostolic succession, to have unquestionably valid orders, has led Anglicans all over the world, only a small minority, but an important minority, to approach Rome, and they will be converting in the new year, and their clergymen will become Catholic priests.
Now, how will married Anglican priests be handled if they're converting?
Without too much difficulty, given that last time a large number of Anglicans came over, plenty of them were ordained. We have over 100 married Catholic priests in this country with their wives and families, and it's not proved to be an enormously problematic development. I suppose the big problem is that nearly all of the Anglican bishops who've decided that they wish to become Catholics are married. That means that they cannot, in Catholic or Orthodox tradition, be ordained as bishops. They'll be ordained as priests, therefore, but I think they'll still keep some sort of leadership role. We'll see.
Now, Jim, correct me if I'm wrong. Historically, the celibacy was added to the church as a reform.
Yes. That is correct. That was particularly implemented by Pope Saint Gregory the VII near the end of the 11th century. The problem was that there, especially in certain parts of Southern Europe, there were cases where women, the wives of the priests, were exercising authority which was not theirs, and this caused friction. Also, there was transfer of property which belonged to the church to the families of the parish priests, and to eliminate that problem, this was put into the canons. However, it took some time until you really had, so to speak, the muscle behind it at the top, and that is what Pope Gregory the VII provided. He reigned from 1073 to 1085.
Now, Jeff, when it comes to things like this, dissent, you know, you have various groups who are calling themselves Catholic, claiming to have a valid ordination of women and so forth. It seems to me that the media has never met, at least in America, a dissenting group of Catholics that it didn't like.
Well, yeah, because the dissent is always along a secular pathway. So, you know, this is what they always have. So they always, boost and these people. I remember there's a couple kind of rather famous Newsweek articles where, you know, basically they're saying that these women are priests and everything else. You know, there can't be no doubt about it. And at the time, I wrote a parody piece announcing that I was I was now a writer for Newsweek. I was a Newsweek reporter, even though Newsweek, won't have nothing to do with me or give me a salary or anything else. But I'm a Newsweek reporter because I decided that I was, and that I felt a call to be a Newsweek reporter. You know, this is the type of thing that, usually when people claim to belong to some occupation that they don't belong to, they're usually called nutty or crazy. You know, that they're, you know, if somebody says, well, I'm a doctor, you know, or a psychiatrist, and they've never been to school for that, you know, they're going to go, well, I don't, maybe not. But when it comes to women priests, they, you know, they say, well, this is all equal, this is all fair. And when it came to Jesus, hey, well, Jesus just couldn't change that because, you know, every other religion in the world there had women priestesses. Well, I mean, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, he was forced by the Israelites not be able to endure it, you know, just... The message that they had to try to justify this is just, you know, totally silly. But, you know, of course, almost all religious coverage, especially of the Catholic Church, is very silly.
Well, not just silly, it's actually, in my opinion, it's an attack. So you see attack after attack after attack, and... When you look at it, in fact, people are seem to be very afraid of believing Catholics. For example, there was a very nice piece in the American Spectator called Kennedy, Catholicism, and Palin. Now, Sarah Palin is not a Catholic. I want to point this out. This is at spectator.org by Patrick O'Hannigan. And Sarah Palin talked about John F. Kennedy's famous speech where he talks about how he did not, you know, he would not be ruled by Rome and so forth. And Palin suggested that that was a mistake in the sense that he was, you know, walking away from his religion rather than embracing it. And they had a wonderful quote by a fellow named Hilary Belloc as a counterexample here in this article, and I'd like to read it for you. And here's the quote from the article. In 1906, when Belloc ran for a seat in the British Parliament as a representative of the Liberal Party, his stem-winding stump speech included a ringing affirmation of faith, quote, "Gentlemen, I am a Roman Catholic. As far as possible, I go to Mass every day. This," and he took a rosary out of his pocket, "is a rosary. As far as possible, I kneel down and tell these beads every day. If you reject me on account of my religion, I shall thank God that he has spared me the indignity of making me your representative." And Kathleen Kennedy Townsend felt so threatened by Palin's brief remark in her book that the Washington Post gave her an editorial page to counter it, the Kennedys being such faithful Catholics. However, Reverend Charles Caput, the Roman Catholic Bishop, Archbishop of Denver, Colorado, also described Kennedy's speech. He called it sincere, compelling, articulate, and wrong. Now, Damien, why is it that Catholics are encouraged to not be Catholics publicly, from what you can see?
Well, it's not just a problem in the media, although I heartily echo everything that's been said about Newsweek, which used to be quite good, but now a lot of its reporting is absolutely atrocious on the subject of the Catholic Church. Likewise, much of the reporting in Britain, where the mainstream media has roughly the same set of prejudices. But you've got to understand that liberal Catholics have considerable influence in the media. I don't know whether the mainstream media in America is influenced by liberal Catholics, but certainly it is very much by liberal Catholics in Britain. The BBC has a very, very comfortable relationship with liberal or dissenting Catholics, like the American press. It's never met a dissenting Catholic group it didn't like, unless it was a conservative dissenting Catholic group. Needless to say, at the risk of seeming disloyal and introducing a note of dissension, I don't think matters are helped by the Bishops' Conference in England and Wales, which has a sort of distinct quasi-liberal identity, which often leans much closer to the secular consensus than, say, the pronouncements from Rome.
And I think a lot of this, when it comes down to it, it's the attempt to drown out what Catholicism is. There seems to be, and part of this can be laid to the church itself, the image, when you say Catholic priest now, people seem to think of only one thing. They think of the church scandals, even though the scandals that are coming out are, for the most part, very old and have been addressed. In fact, the Catholic Church has addressed this situation better than a lot of secular organizations have. In fact, your secular organizations have basically pushed things under the rug while the church has addressed these things and has gone after it.
Well, this is one part where you know, the media did play, you know, somewhat of a positive role. And even in the Pope's new book, he does talk about the media and the sexual abuse scandal, that, you know, thanking them in a way, you know. The bishops' conferences didn't act until, you know, like the Boston Globe, which is so anti-Catholic, but, you know, these stories started coming out, and they were kind of forced to finally address all this stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, we had one bishop resign, you know, Cardinal Law, but, you know, that was it. You know, there was a lot more people that, you know, were heavily involved in these scandals that knew so much more about it that, you know, that were in place and had excused these that are still in place and like that. But, you know, the media, you know, played a good part in investigating that and letting this know, but they also played a horrible part in not, you know, mentioning the fact that, you know, the public schools, you know, it's like 200% times more, you know, chances for abuse and stuff. You know, things that Archbishop Chaput from Denver has brought up repeatedly that, you know, hey, let's get all these skeletons out of the closet in all these institutions, because it's, you know, it's dreadful, it's scary. And as the, you know, as the Pope talked to the Curia, you know, once again saying that the church really needs to repent on this stuff, and, you know, we can't put this on a back burner saying it's over, that these cases are all gone. You know, there's, you know.
He called it today a tear in the garment of the church.
Could I just butt in for a second and say, you mentioned Cardinal Law. I do wonder why Cardinal Law is still a cardinal in good standing, apparently in charge of Santa Maria Maggiore. Is he in Rome, when his record in Boston was absolutely atrocious?
Well, I certainly can't argue with you there. I think that was a mistake. And Jim, you had something you wanted to say on that?
Well, a couple of points. Cardinal Law was, shall we say, vox clamantis in deserto, the voice of him crying in the wilderness for about a year and a half. He was sent down to one of the mid-Atlantic states, I believe it was Delaware, where he was acting as a chaplain for a group of cloistered nuns. And then about 18 months after he left his post in Boston, this would be about 2004 in the spring, he was made the archpriest of one of the four major basilicas in Rome, namely St. Mary Major. And there are some people in Boston who are not happy about that. Another point I just wanted to say, some people might be wondering which of the Kennedys is to be identified with the name Kathleen Kennedy Townsend. She is the eldest child and eldest daughter, therefore, of Senator Robert Kennedy. Her uncle was the president, and she talked about the strong current of Catholicism, which has been part of the patrimony of their family. Well, some people would beg to disagree if actions speak louder than words.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to take the action of taking a break here at WCRN, 50,000 watts of true talk. And we will be back after this break, and a Merry Christmas to everyone.
The Boston Herald calls Linguini's Italian Eatery as close to home cooking as you can get. Critic Jan Gossman writes, "We left with full stomachs, but our pocketbooks were not hit." Add your review to theirs at Linguini's Italian Eatery, 350 Boston Post Road West, Marlboro. Open 7 days. Get your family away from the set and onto the alleys at Putnam Street Lanes, Fitchburg. For 120 years, from college students to retirees, Putnam Street Lanes has kept people on a roll. Seniors, men's, women, or mixed, Putnam's has a candlepin league for you 7 days a week. And our youth leagues aged 5 to 18 and free lessons for children are the fun way to get your kids moving again. You can't get more New England than candlepin bowling, and there's no bowling like Putnam Street Lanes, 14 Putnam Street, Fitchburg, 978-343-9664. On the web at Putnam Street Lanes.com.
Get into a warm, toasty car this winter with a new remote starter installed by Sunroof Sound and Security, 623 North Main Street, rear in Leominster. Your new remote starter will keep you warm in the winter and cool in the summer. For nearly two decades, we've added value to vehicles from window tinting and security systems to custom sound system and iPod mounts. Visit us at 623 North Main Street Rear in Leominster. Sunroof Sound and Security, 978-534-9911. That's 978-534-9911.
Aaron Pallet has been a leader in the industry, known for dependable service for 43 years. For pallets recycled, rebuilt, remanufactured, or new, 800-248-7543 is the number to call. Need pallets in a pinch? Aaron Pallet's radio dispatch trucks are on the job, and your small business isn't small to us. A call to 800-248-7543 brings you the same great service that some of the largest food manufacturers in the world rely on. Your business is our business at Aaron Pallet, 88 Benson Street, Fitchburg. On the web at aaronpallet.com. When it comes to floors, you're covered with Littles Floor Covering, 359 Summer Street, Fitchburg. For 20 years, Littles has sold and installed the best selection of carpets and floors for your home or business. Keep yourself covered with Littles Floor Covering, 978-345-5425. On the web at littlesfloorcovering.com.
We are Brick and Mortar at Goldrick & Son Masonry, 155 Lunenburg Street in Fitchburg. For 30 years, we've done it all, from stone walkways to patios and more. No job is too big or too small. Commercial or residential, your stonework will be done by fully licensed and insured professionals. We offer senior citizen discounts, and all work is guaranteed. We aren't satisfied until you are. Call 978-597-2622 for a free estimate. That's Goldrick & Son Masonry, 978-597-2622. We are Brick and Mortar.
Mike's Pizza and More, 153 Lunenburg Street, has served Fitchburg for over 40 years, delivering the freshest pizza, calzones, grinders, and platters from our kitchen to your table. Eat in or take out. When you're hungry, Mike's ready. Call Mike's Pizza and More, 978-353-0008. That's 978-353-0008. At JS Protective Services, Inc., www.jsps.us, your security is our business. JS Protective is a family-owned business that will provide you with professionally trained and certified guards for all your security needs. Uniformed or plain clothes, armed or unarmed, one guard or 50. JS Protective Services, 978-537-6700, makes the security of your business their business. And if you have an emergency, we can provide same-day services for any contingency. Your business is your living. Keep it safe and secure with JS Protective Services, Inc., 435 Lancaster Street, Leominster, and on the web at www.jsps.us. It's magic and more at LAN Games, 444 Central Street, Leominster. Tourneys, singles, D&D, Warhammer miniatures, LAN's got you covered. You've got game at LAN Games, 444 Central Street, Leominster, 978-466-9851. On the web at landgamestore.com.
And we are back here at WCRN, 50,000 watts of true talk coming out on this Christmas Day. A Merry Christmas to all of our listeners online or listening live. We are taping this show, so you cannot call in, although you can send us your comments at thetechguyontheradio@gmail.com. And I want to briefly remind you that next week we're going to have Barbara Espinoza on New Year's Day. We're going to be live again. She will be our guest, and I want to read you something from a post of mine from a little while back, and the name of the post is, Maybe the City of New York Should End Celibacy and Allow Married Workers, and it's about a, basically they were going to increase the statute of limitations, the number of years after an abuse case could take place, and somebody proposed that they do it not just for the church, but for all groups. I mean, after all, you know, abuse is abuse no matter where it came from. And all of a sudden, the objections came out. And this is from a blog called The Himmerat. I can't pronounce it properly. The Himmeretic of Community Continuity. This is from a British priest's blog. I believe it's Father
Tim. The Himmeretic of Continuity.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm stumbling over words. And here's the quote of what happened once the suggestion was made. Quote, the excuses are all tumbling out. The New York City mayor is concerned about the potential impact for taxpayers. Welcome to the real world, mayor. Catholics in the pews have seen billions of dollars donated over the decades, paying out in compensation. The State Association of Counties has issued a memo in opposition, citing the problem of, quote, significantly aged and clouded evidence. Well, as we learned in the church, extending the statute of limitations is necessary because the nature of the crime means that it may take as long time before a person's ready to confront it. The New York State School Boards Association has said that the revelation of past misdeeds would provide no extra protection for children. They should talk to safeguarding officials and good lay Catholics who know the revelations of past crimes is a very strong motivation to provide robust safeguarding procedures. And I really think the church made a huge mistake, because the sins of individual priests were sins of individual priests. But I think that the bishops made a mistake of the sin of fear and the sin of pride in not nipping it in the bud immediately and taking care of it at the time. Because if these cases were handled right at the beginning, I think this wouldn't have gone very far at all. Jim?
Well, I'm thinking back to some events about 20 years ago. There was a certain priest who was born in the Archdiocese of Boston, but he served in one of the suffragan sees, namely Fall River. And he was, because of a curiosity in the statute of limitations, he was able to be prosecuted more than 30 years after his peccadilloes had been committed.
Well, one thing about that, and I think what it's done is it's taken us off our story. And I want to quote Matthew Kelly, who you may have heard of. He's a public speaker about the church, and here's the quote here. Every single day, the Catholic Church feeds more people, houses more people, clothes more people, visits more imprisoned people, and educates more people than any other institution on the planet Earth can ever hope to. Now, this is an extremely true statement, and not only is it a true statement, it's been a true statement for centuries. And, Jeff, how is it that we Catholics have let ourselves be thrown to the point where we have forgotten our history?
Well, I mean, you know, everybody has talked about the horrible catechesis that has occurred, you know, from the 60s on, where, you know, Catholics hardly, you know, knew what they had, you know, what their faith was. You know, they knew how to make felt banners, and they, you know, oh, God is love, and thou shalt not judge. They knew that, but not much else. And the history of the church, you know, was something they're totally, you know, ignorant on, you know. Now, myself, as an atheist for almost 40 years of my life, you know, and a convert to the Catholic faith, you know, I came to learn the history of the church and everything else, and what it brought to science and such. And so, you know, it's really amazing what you look at, what the church does on an everyday thing.
I want to put in a plug for a book
Western
here.
Western civilization in the first place.
I do want to plug a book here called How the Catholic Church Built Western Civilization, by Thomas E. Woods. It talks about how the church was important in the formation of the university system, keeping the sciences alive and so forth. Now, Damien, I have this is going to sound a little silly. When I was a kid, my favorite television show was the old Richard Green Adventures of Robin Hood, which was shown on WMUR-TV in New Hampshire. It was Channel 9. And I would get up and watch at 6 a.m., and you'd have an awful lot of church history, and you had the church portrayed a particular way. And it was a given that, for the most part in the show, and I think some of the communistic writers of the series would be shocked at this, it showed the church's history as a protector of the common people. And in England, is the remembrance of the church, both Catholic and Protestant, as a defender of the common people still in memory? Or is that something that's fallen away?
Well, in England, as in the United States, we have different folk memories depending on whether you're a Catholic or a non-Catholic. And for a very long time, for centuries, there was a caricature of the English Catholic Church in the English Protestant imagination, which was highly distorted, almost demonic parody of what the church was actually like, although nobody doubts that the church became, in places, extremely corrupt and ineffective. What's also recognized, however, by more serious historians is that the Catholic Church, even as a minority in the 19th century, both in England and Ireland, was a great educator, a great educator of the poor, and a campaigned for social justice, so much so that when in the 1890s Cardinal Manning died, the dockers of London lined the streets, not very few of them Catholics, I should say, but lined the streets when to salute his coffin. So memories and thoughts tend to be rather mixed, but what has happened, and I just couldn't agree more with what Jeff said, is that Catholics have lost a sense of the achievements of their own history, and particularly the idea that the Catholic Church was a great sponsor of intellectual inquiry and science. That's gone out of the window. The new atheists are very, very keen to caricature the Church as enemy of reason and enemy of knowledge.
Now, I think it's actually funny because I keep going back to something. It was one of my favorite ever articles by Mike Bonnicle, who you'll see on MSNBC on occasion. And he wrote it on the occasion of Mother Teresa's death the same week of as Lady Diana's. And as you may, I know in England, of course, the media went all out. In America, the media went all out at Diana's death. But when Mother Teresa's death took place, suddenly the media found itself shamed and ended up broadcasting her funeral live. And I suspect that if Lady Diana had not died the same week, the media would not have done so. And it shows that God, you know, God does have a sense of humor. I mean, he created man, so that if that's not proof enough, I don't know what is. Jim, any thoughts on that?
As I recall, there was a difference of 5 days between the death of Diana, Princess of Wales, and Mother Teresa. And one of the significant, as folks would say on the other side of the pond, newsreaders, or as we would say in this country, anchors, Peter Jennings made some very derogatory statements about Mother Teresa. And this did not go unnoticed. And so you're quite right.
Now, Jeff, do you think we are going to see, as time goes on, do you think in the end we will see a turn back to what was going on in the past where the church was basically very well respected within the community? You have a large Latin community coming in, very Catholic community coming in, especially in the South and in the West. People talk about churches closing. There were four churches that closed in Fitchburg, but a lot of people from Fitchburg have moved south and west. A lot of people from New York have moved south and west. Massachusetts is losing an electoral vote. New York is losing at least one congressman. And where they're going, there is strong churches and strong churches with orthodox views. Now, Jeff, what would you have to say about that?
Well, I think that, you know, there's some good trends in that area. You know, living here in Florida, you know, there's no churches closing down in my area. You know, if anything, it's growing. You know, we just started a new Catholic high school, so we now have two Catholic high schools in our city. So, you know, things are growing. But, you know, there's a semi-positive movement in that direction. You know, as relativism and secularism, you know, keeps rearing its ugly head, and then people start seeing, you know, the falsities to that, you know, there's going back into moral truths and stuff like that is something where people are going to go, and people are going to be much more skeptical of all the promises of the 60s now than they've ever been. And, you know, some polling has shown that. But, here in the United States and Europe, you know, there's going to be some, you know, small changes. But, you know, the really real hope is in Africa and other such places where the Catholic Church is growing by leaps and bounds. You know, within 50 years, you know, Africa could have the most Catholics of anywhere in the world.
And that's what it really comes down to. It's not a question of where the souls are as long as the souls are saved. Damien?
Yeah, I think several things will happen. I think we have an equivalent, a mild equivalent of the flourishing of Orthodox churches in the States, which is that there are the new generation of seminarians in Britain, for example, tend to be more conservative and Orthodox and more attached particularly to Pope Benedict than is true of the older generation of priests and the bishops, who tend to reflect the ideology of their own seminary days. I'm sure the church in Africa will grow very fast. I'm a little bit skeptical as to precisely how dynamic and orthodox it will be, because I think African Catholicism has the potential to be quite idiosyncratic and strange and have severe disciplinary problems from time to time. I know priests are missionaries out there, and their reports of these thriving congregations make me worry. They're experiencing some of the problems that the thriving Pentecostal congregations do in Africa. So I'm not sure I repose quite as much hope in the thought of the central gravity as of the church moving into Africa. I think what the Pope recognizes is that the church will get smaller, but perhaps intensify its spirituality in the Western world. And he's doing everything he can to encourage the intensification of that spirituality, often with the active resistance of his bishops.
Now, Jim, you've seen an awful lot of popes over the years, and you were in Rome during the reign of John Paul. What is your evaluation of this pope as to where he is taking the church? I'm going to have to see if you can do it in 30 seconds.
When the death of Pope John Paul II occurred and the election of Pope Benedict, I was in the city. And I was personally hoping that he would be elected. And when I heard it had happened, I thought it was too good to be true. He is a man of colossal intellect, of great humanity, and I think will bring, during what I hope was a long reign, his great attributes to bear in leadership of the Holy See and of the Church.
Well, speaking of great attributes, I want to thank all of our guests, James Miley, Damian Thompson, and the Kurt Jester, who've all brought great attributes to our Christmas show. I want to thank all of our listeners. Wish them all a Merry Christmas. I hope your Christmas treated you very well today. And we at WCRN wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year with our 50,000 watts of signal going out. Want to remind you that next week we are going to have Barbara Espinoza as our guest and the science guy. From all of us here at WCRN, thank you very much for listening. This is the Tech Guy on the radio, and we are signing off for Christmas evening. Next week, Barbara Espinoza and the science guy.
Get your family away from the set and onto the alleys at Putnam Street Lanes, Fitchburg. For 120 years, from college students to retirees, Putnam Street Lanes has kept people on a roll. Seniors, men's, women, or mixed, Putnam's has a candlepin league for you 7 days a week. And our youth leagues aged 5 to 18 and free lessons for children are the fun way to get your kids moving again. You can't get more New England than candlepin bowling, and there's no bowling like Putnam Street Lanes, 14 Putnam Street, Fitchburg, 978-343-9664. On the web at Putnam Street Lanes.com.
At the Dance Arts Center in Fitchburg, the Luoma family has taught area youth for over 40 years. From recitals to our competitive dance team, we've been there for kids 18 months to 18 years and adult. Give your children the gift of dance at the Dance Arts Center, 68 Airport Road, Fitchburg, 978-345-5445. On the web at dancedac.com.
Aaron Pallet has provided dependable service for 43 years to businesses large and small. For pallets recycled, rebuilt, remanufactured, or new, 800-248-7543 is the number to call. Your business is our business at Aaron Pallet, 88 Benson Street, Fitchburg, 800-248-7543, on the web at aaronpallet.com. There are many ways that you can be a soldier's angel. You can bake. Our angel bakers bake homemade treats for the deployed. You can write. Our wounded TLC team sends out cards and letters of support to the wounded. You can knit. Our sewing team makes blankets and scarves for the deployed. There are many ways to be a soldier's angel. Find your way at soldiersangels.org. Do you have a little angel in you?
CBS News brings you the world on News and Talk Radio, WCRN, Worcester, Boston.
CBS News, I'm Sam Litzinger. One forecaster says it would certainly be better to travel today than wait until tomorrow. In many parts of the south and the northeast, a storm could bring several inches of snow to the Washington, D.C.